Hey everybody, it's JT. What is on your holiday meal shopping list? Well, I would suggest Painted Hills Natural Beef. It is some of the best beef in the world. And your friends and family will be thanking you for a long time if you serve Painted Hills Natural Beef for your holiday meals. And now you can buy it online just by going to PaintedHillsBeef.com. Use the code BBQNATION at checkout and save yourself 15% on your order. Give Painted Hills Natural Beef a place on your table this holiday season.
It's time for Barbecue Nation with JT. So fire up your grill, light the charcoal, and get your smoker cooking. Now, from the Turn It, Don't Burn It studios in Portland, here's JT.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Nation. That's the Barbecue Nation. I'm JT, along with Camaro Dave and Commander Chris. Coming to you from the Turn It and Don't Burn It studios in downtown Portland. If you follow competitive barbecue at all, you probably know the name barbecue guru, Bob Trudnack. Bob is a competitive barbecue cook, but he's also been doing this for more than a couple of weeks, like some people we've talked to over the years. Bob's been doing it since he was about 7 years old, at least cooking, kind of like my backstory. He's also with the Barbecue Guru, and he's the president of marketing. He's got all these hats, and that's a very cool thing. And we're going to be talking to Bob in just a second here. Also, I'd like to thank the folks at Painted Hills Natural Beef. Painted Hills Natural Beef from the heart of the Pacific Northwest. Beef you can be proud to serve your family and friends. That's Painted Hills Natural Beef. All right, let's talk to Bob Trudnack. Excuse me, I can say that properly. The Barbecue Guru. Hi, Bob.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm excellent.
So you've got quite the backstory. Of course, you know, I do my research and I find out about this people's history and stuff. But yours is very interesting. Not so dissimilar to mine as far as starting to like to cook from an early age. But your dad kind of got you started, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. I grew up in Northeast Pennsylvania, so it wasn't exactly a barbecue capital of the world. You know, our barbecue is hot dogs, hamburgers, you know, burnt chicken, things like that.
Right.
But we went to the lake on the weekends. We grabbed a bag of Kingsford briquettes. We grabbed a bunch of food and we lit the grill. No matter what the weather was, we were out there cooking.
I know the story, man. I know the story. But sometimes like when they would say, watch this, it's kind of like today they would say, here, hold my beer. And then they disappear or something. So how did you know or did you know right away that you were going to get fascinated or got hooked into this world of barbecue and outdoor cooking?
Well, when I was young, I didn't know. I knew I loved to cook. I knew I loved to, you know, be a part of the family gatherings and what it's, you know, meant to the family and friends. And I was just fascinated a little bit by, you know, cooking outdoors, the whole process of lighting the charcoal, getting the food on and watching people's faces when they ate the food and if we got it right. It wasn't until years later, until I met Shotgun Fred Perkle, that I really knew I was going to get into traditional Southern barbecue.
Now, they don't count Pennsylvania as a southern state, though, do they?
They don't.
So you're above the Manson-Nixon line there.
Yeah, exactly. But I'll tell you what, I've learned from some of the best around the country, and I've been doing a lot of practice, and so now I consider myself part of the South.
There you go. Well, that's good stuff, man. I'm down with that. I've spent a lot of time down there and in the Carolinas, but me and Georgia and Florida and Texas and Oklahoma and Arkansas and all those states. And so they're all a little different, but they all start out with good quality meats and some good seasoning. So I think if people get that part down, they've got half the battle won.
That's right. That is the truth.
So how did you come up with the handle, the Barbecue Guru?
Well, you know, I started working for Shotgun Fred back in 1999, and we had a valve business that I worked for. I did some marketing and web design, and Fred, like me, was a cook. We love to cook. You know, I grew up in an Italian family. He grew up in San Antonio, and he introduced barbecue to me, but we weren't doing barbecue back then. We were making mechanical valves for the industrial industries.
Sure.
So with that, we started playing around with making a mechanical valve that had a thermostat that sat on top of the stack of a smoker, along with some other things we're, you know, trying to work on. Fred was a had 28 patents at the time I met him. So he was always tinkering, always, you know, trying to figure out what, you know, what he can do, what product he can make, what he can make better. And we just started playing around with names, and it kind of rhymed. So we came up with, you know, we're going to teach people how to, you know, cook barbecue the best we can, help them be successful the first time out. So we just figured barbecue guru seemed to work.
There you go. It works for me, you know. Yeah, no, I think it's great. And if you've not been to the websites that Bob's referring to, you can just look up Barbecue Guru. They've got all kinds of stuff on there. And I want to talk to you in the next segment about your new monolith cooker. Those look pretty cool to me. And
yeah, they are pretty cool.
Did you have a hand in designing that?
Well, what happened was a couple years ago, I was cooking over in Germany at a competition. And I met the owner of Monolith Grills Germany. And Germany is where it all started. And they had been on the market with this ceramic grill for a few years and been very successful. And it was always my dream as a, you know, heading a barbecue temperature control company to incorporate this into a grill. And if I wasn't going to make it myself, I wanted a good partner. So he was looking for an exclusive American distributor of the grills, and I was looking for a grill to integrate my fan control system into. So we talked it over, and we said, we're going to do it. So in the new design, the Barbecue Guru Edition, we worked here in the States with the company in Germany to bring you what it is today.
Well, you know, if people aren't familiar with it, it's a Kamado-style grill. But it's got lots of cool features, and I watched some of your videos and stuff, and you've got the guy from, I guess, Tennessee or Kentucky now that pops up on my screen every time I go to watch YouTube. but that's okay. That's okay. He does a good job for you. But it's really interesting, some of the features they put together, because a quick story here, Bob. Years ago, one of my aunts gave me one of the original green eggs. I mean, this was back back in the late 70s, early 80s. And all I knew was that was one heavy SOB to move around. But then I got the hang of cooking ribs and stuff in it. And I was like, man, this thing is great. And then through some subsequent moves and stuff, it vanished somewhere. Anyway, well, that's okay, because years later, I got a Primo, and then I've had a couple other ones, and I really like the Kamado style, so that's why I'm really interested in your grill there.
Sure, sure. When I was first learning how to cook barbecue, we had a lot of ceramic grills. We were doing a lot of testing of the controls on ceramics.
Sure.
I've always had a place in my heart for ceramic grills.
Well, they're great. If you know, I know people, and of course I'm out in the Northwest, and so they're big on pellet grills out here, which are great too. Don't get me wrong. I like anything that cooks and works is just fine with me. But, you know, they came up with actually a pellet grill, and it's still on the market. It's on the market in Canada, actually, called the Black Olive, which I did some work with. They didn't want to change. They had analog. They didn't want to change into digital and some things like that. So, but, you know, and there was a little ash problem with that, but really no greater than it was on some of the charcoal versions. But Kamado style cooking is really good stuff. We're talking with Bob Trudnick, sure, the barbecue guru here. He's on his way to, are you on your way to a competition as we're talking?
No, I'm actually on my way to an appointment.
Oh, okay.
Catering in Detroit, but I do have a competition this weekend, Pennsylvania State Championship.
Well, there you go. We're going to take a break. We're going to be back here on The Nation with Bob right after this. Don't go away. Barclays for your gold, silver, collectibles, rare coins, and high-quality jewelry. Barclays in Oregon, 503-982-2033. That's 503-982-2033. Barclays, buysellpawn.com.
Hey, Keith Ellison, Jim Keltner, I saw Jason.
Hey, welcome back to Barbecue Nation here on the Barbecue Nation Radio Network and also part of the Envision Networks. If you'd like to email us, it's very simple. It's bbq@salempdx.com. That's bbq@salempdx.com. You can go on SoundCloud and listen to our previous shows. We also have Facebook, Barbecue Nation with JT, Twitter, CowCook57, and on and on and on and on and on. Boy, your stuff will drive you nuts. Anyway, we're talking with Bob Trudnick, the barbecue guru. How long has it taken you, or are you continually working on your style and process, Bob?
As far as cooking?
Yes.
Cooking?
Yes.
I'm always working on my style and process, and I will never be done.
And so how has it changed over, let's just pick a time frame, how has it changed over the last 10 years?
Wow, it's changed quite a bit. You know, as far as flavor profiles, I would say that it's still very similar, and you can still get to a great end result by taking, you know, 100 different roads to get there.
Sure.
But as far as technique and, you know, competition barbecue, what you're putting in the box, maybe some philosophies on, you know, what meat to put in the box, what to leave out, different cooking methods. It's changed considerably.
Mm-hmm.
And that's actually exciting. But what it does is it gets me cooking more because I like to try everything I hear that's out there and see if I can do it successful myself and be successful with it.
Well, for the listener, for the average listener, because we've got a lot of people that are, you know, competitors that listen to this, but a majority of our audience is just, you know, whip up the burgers on a Friday night type thing on their back porch, but they like they like to hear the different styles and stuff. How different is your preparation, competitive versus civilian? Let's put it that way.
Okay. Well, I could do a pretty good comparison there because my wife and I own a catering business.
There you go.
And we cook for hundreds of people at a time. And what I do for the catering business and what I do for competition are completely different. Take chicken, for example. You know, I'll buy a pack of chicken legs, chicken thighs, do a quick trim just to get the heavy fat off there, make sure there's no bone shards, dust it with my alpha rub, and I have an Amish cooker that cooks about 75 pieces of chicken at once, and it keeps the chicken about 24 inches from the coals, so it's direct.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a good distance on it. So you're grilling at about 375 degrees for about 30 minutes until everything is in the 180s.
There you go.
Now, whether it's 180 or 190, don't matter. We're going to pull it off, and we're going to serve it to you. Competition chicken, I've adapted cooking chicken leg quarters, or I'm sorry, just the drums.
Sure.
I buy whole chicken leg quarters, trim them down, spend about a good hour trimming, making sure everything looks perfect. I want to turn in 6 or 7 pieces, most likely 7 pieces to a judge, but I'm going to cook about 18 to 20 legs to do that so that I get everything perfect. And then I have like a 3 or 4 step process between direct, indirect, you know, covering the chicken, getting different layers on there, injecting. So it's quite a process because I can feed you my competition or my catering chicken, and although it's going to vary slightly cook to cook, you're going to love it. It's going to be great bite through, you know, skin. It's going to be great chicken, crispy on the outside. And you're probably going to eat three or four pieces of it. But when you're a judge and you're having six portions or six different entries, you're going to take one bite of that chicken, and it's got to be the best bite that day at that table. So there's things you got to do to kind of take care of that. Make sure it's got the right amount of salt content, not too much smoke, good balance of flavor, because you're up against some of the best out there, and you want it to be the best they've had.
Do you ever get a chance to sample the other cooks? I mean, I know you do. I know the answer to the question before I even ask it. But do you go by and say, hey, Bob, you know, Bob makes great chicken or Bob makes great ribs. And then somebody says, yeah, but Jerry over here has got this. And so you go by and you taste it and you do that. You swap out a little information between people or just through observation?
I absolutely swap out. I encourage swapping out. I don't even ask. I just walk over to my next door neighbor's trailer with chicken leg and tell him to give me a thigh. I'll tell you, I mean, it really is an eye opener when you taste someone's chicken and then you see how they do at the end of the day. You know, there's a certain amount of stubbornness that comes with any competition cook. You want to put in the box what you want to put in the box.
Sure.
And I completely respect that. And I'm that way too. But at the same time, you know, you have think about these judges and the diversity that's sitting at that table, whether it's, you know, they come from a different part of the country or they have, you know, different tastes with sweet, with salt, with smoke, heat, and, you know, tasting other people's food who you know do well is a real eye-opener because you may not necessarily get that the fact that, you know, what they're doing is going to be more successful than what you're doing, whether you think their food is better or not. You know, you might taste their chicken and your chicken, and they took first and you took 10th, but you liked your chicken better.
Mm-hmm.
It's not really about what you like. It's about what is going to be best for those judges there, not that. So it's an eye-opener, and I encourage new cooks to swap out with veteran cooks and veteran cooks with veteran cooks and vice versa. If anybody ever asks me to taste my competition barbecue, I am the first person to hand them a plate and see what they think of it.
Do you get to know the judges? I mean, you're not, I came out of a different competitive world, but after you've been involved in it for a number of years, I know it's blind judging and all that, but you can say, okay, here's four guys from the Deep South that are judging, and here's a couple people from Colorado or Idaho or whatever, and, you know, like you said, different regions, different tastes per region.
Right.
Can you kind of gear your chicken towards that or whatever it is you're cooking? Go ahead.
If I stay in the Mid-Atlantic region, I know I can be consistent with what I've been doing. And it's really interesting that there's certain contests that you're just consistent because you're there every year, year in and year out.
Sure.
And then once you go to a different part of the country, now you have to adjust slightly for the flavors in that area. And it's not anything dramatic. It's very subtle, but you have to think about that.
Sure. We're going to take a break here on Barbecue Nation. We're going to be back with barbecue guru Bob Trudnick. We're going to ask him about working with Big Mo, because Big Mo's been on the show before. So we're going to take a break. We'll be back in just a couple minutes. Don't go away. It's Barclays for your gold, silver, collectibles, rare coins, and high-quality jewelry. That's Barclays in Oregon, 503-982-2033, 503-982-2033, at BarclaysBuySellPawn.com. Hey, welcome back to Barbecue Nation. I'm JT here on the Envision Radio Networks, and we thank you very much for listening with us today. We've got Bob Trudnack with us from the Barbecue Guru, and Bob's a really interesting guy. He's done all kinds of things, not just with barbecue, but, you know, designing valves and all kinds of things. And we've talked about some of that already. We're going to get into more of that. We'd like to thank the folks at Painted Hills Natural Beef from the heart of the Pacific Northwest. Beef, you'd be proud to serve your family and friends. That's Painted Hills Natural Beef. Also, don't forget, you can check us out online. SoundCloud, it's shows/BBQNationJT. And if you want to email us, it's bbq@salempdx.com. All right, let's get back and talk to the barbecue guru himself, Bob Trudnack. What did your wife say when you decided that all of a sudden you were going to go into barbecue competition?
She just gave me a strange look and said, "All right, if it helps you self-control, then go for it."
Okay. Does she go on the trips with you?
So she comes to a couple local events, but since we started the catering business back in 2011, it's been kind of tough because that's her busy time.
Sure.
But I get the kids out with me. This weekend, my 13-year-old son, Mitch, is coming, Mighty Mitch. He's coming with me. Not sure how much work I'm going to get out of him, but he'll be there.
Well, especially if somebody else has got cute daughters around there, you might not see them at all, but you never know. So, so as I said in the tease coming into this segment, you and Mo have teamed up. Big Mo Kaysen, how's that going?
Mo Kaysen is one of the best guys on the planet, in or out of barbecue. I've known him for a long time. We've always had good rapport. And we saw an opportunity a few years ago to work together, and it really has been magic. I mean, him and I, we teach classes together. We promote Barbecue Guru together. We do a lot of videos, and you can check them out on our YouTube channel,
yep.
YouTube Barbecue Guru.
Yep.
He's just an amazing guy. He's a good friend of my family, you know. My wife is a good judge of character, and she'll let you know if she doesn't like you.
Okay.
He met Mo for the first time and loved him. My kids love him. Super awesome guy. And I'm glad to be his friend.
Well, he seemed like a good guy. Now, I've never met him in person, but he was on the show, gosh, a year and a half ago or something, and had a great time with him. Then, of course, he was on the Pizza Hut commercials, and he's been doing some other reality TV and stuff now, so you know, I say more power to him because he seemed like the real deal to me. And having spent all those years in the Navy and stuff, that was pretty cool too.
Yeah, he's a real guy. He's very humble. He's just a good friend.
Good. So let me ask you a couple of opinion questions, Bob. Where do you think the state of barbecue competitions, you know, where is it right now? Is it in a good place? Could it get better? I mean, what are your thoughts?
Well, I mean, I do get to travel all around the world and cook barbecue. I think it's kind of regional. It's been great. I see a little bit of fall off in the Mid-Atlantic area. There's competitions I've been doing for, 15 years that are no longer. And that's been happening in the last couple of years. So I do see some fall off. I hear about fall off in other parts of the country. But if you look at Europe, it's on the rise. It's amazing. When I first went over there in 2013, there were some guys going over there like, Dr. Barbecue and guys like that, just trying to build it up and teach them about KCBS-style competition. And now, every weekend, there's a barbecue contest over there. So it's growing immensely in Europe. It's evolving in the U.S. I'm hoping it stays strong. And we're seeing a lot of little pop-up one-day events, steak competitions, burger competitions. Heck, I even did a Bloody Mary competition a couple months ago, which is kind of pretty cool.
I was going to say, that's not really hard duty, Bob.
That's true.
Just throwing that out there for you, bud. Well, it's funny because we can check online. Of course, where the show airs on the radio and that market is expanding and all that because this show is being syndicated. But, you know, we can kind of tell the ratings and all this. But when we get into the streaming numbers and then the stuff off SoundCloud, if you really, you know, drill down a little bit about it, it's really interesting. I get a lot of listeners from England. I get a lot of listeners from Germany. And the Netherlands and France, Germany more so than anything, and I get a ton of them in Australia. So, you know, we've done good in getting it out there. Now we got to kind of, I think, shore up our own backyard a little bit here.
I agree. I cook in Germany. I cook in the Netherlands. Mo's been over there with me. It's just like being here in the U.S., the camaraderie. The inventiveness of the smokers and grills over there. It's fantastic. And I think overall it's growing. There's just some things we got to fix here in the States.
Yeah, well, and one thing that we tend to do is, and I don't want to pontificate this too much, man, but one thing we tend to do is, like, here in the States, we tend to say, okay, here's group A, and they've been doing it a long time, and that's great. But I think I'm going to start group B, and I'm going to do it this other way because my way's better. And they don't seem to really congeal together a lot of times. And then that's when we get these kind of splintered things here and there. And I've seen that not just in barbecue, but I've seen it in all kinds of sports and activities like that. And sometimes I'd like to grab them both by the head and say, listen, get together, work this out, and... You know, right. There's more power in numbers.
Exactly. Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit more about your process here, Bob. One of the things that we get a lot of questions on, a lot of emails on, is when you're a competition and you got to cook a brisket, you got about 3 minutes here. Walk me through your process of prepping and cooking the brisket.
Okay. Well, it starts about on Wednesday night. I'll have my brisket all defrosted. I do get them frozen. I have a meat sponsor, Smoking Dudes Barbecue. Matter of fact, they're in the back of my truck right now. So they get trimmed up, and I have been separating my flats and my points, getting most of the fat off, shaping them up, and then they get vacuum sealed. Put in the cooler. I make myself, believe it or not, an inspirational note on every vacuum sealed package of meat I take to a competition. And the meat inspectors get a kick out of it. So what I do is around 1 o'clock in the afternoon, I inject, and then I put them in a bag, zip tie them, get them back in the cooler. About 8 o'clock in the evening, I'll light my smoker, let it come up slowly, and I'll rub the meats down. I use, you know, three different meat rubs, and I'll let them sit in my air conditioned cooler. For a few hours, it's nice and cool in there, and then I'll get them on about midnight, and they'll slow cook. Well, I say slow cook about 275 until about 5 a.m, and that's when I decide, you know, when I'm wrapping and can handle them from there.
Well, your process isn't a whole lot different from a lot of other folks. I mean,
no, not at all.
I like the notes on the vacuum pack seal. Okay. What do they say? Are you notes of inspiration, like this is first place already, so give it up, or what?
Come on, Bob, you can do third. You got this. Like
that. Yeah, there you go.
You know, my little saying, every time I close a box before it gets turned into the judges, go, go, guru. I say it pretty loud and proud, so sometimes I'll write that on the package or... You know, whatever I'm thinking
at the time. How many, we got about 30 seconds before we go to break here, Bob. How many competitions have you competed in already, do you think? You might not know exactly.
I don't know exactly, but I'm going to guess somewhere around 200.
That's a fair amount.
Yeah.
That's a fair amount. That's at least three sets of tires, you know?
Yeah, it sure is.
We're going to take a break here. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I just said quite a bit more.
Yeah. We're going to take a break here on Barbecue Nation on the Envision Radio Networks. And we're going to be back with Bob Trudnack, barbecue guru, right after this. Stay with us. Barclays for your gold, silver, collectibles, rare coins, and high-quality jewelry. Barclays in Oregon, 503-982-2033. That's 503-982-2033. BarclaysBuySellPawn.com. Hey, welcome back to the Nation. I'm JT, along with Commander Chris and Camaro Dave, and we've got the barbecue guru. How come everybody on the show's got a handle? I never thought about that, you know. Commander Chris, Camaro Dave, I'm JT. We've got, you know, the barbecue guru, Bob Trudnack with his name. We just call him Guru. So I don't think we've ever had anybody on the show, especially this show, that's just like, hi, my name's Jim. Jim Brown, you know, something like that. They all got a meathead comes on the show. He's meathead. You know, I know his real name, but he will shoot you if you call him by his real name. So, you know, one of those things. But Big Mo, you know, Big Mo. So there you go. Anyway, do you, when you're selecting your meat, and this is a question we get a lot too, Bob, you know, like the chickens and the ribs. I mean, everybody's got their own favorite beef and their, whether it's Wagyu or whatever, and they're doing their briskets and they've kind of got that thing nailed. But what about when you're picking out your chickens or your ribs? Is that anywhere the same that the civilians can use? I mean, tell us about that real quick, please.
Absolutely. I actually, when I pick out my chicken, I get family packs of chicken leg quarters. And we have a local market here in the Mid-Atlantic region called Wegmans, and they're nicely priced. They're very fresh looking. I'm just looking for, you know, nice, healthy looking meat, white skins. They're just family packed in my regular grocery store. I just get them before everybody else does, so I can choose the best of the best.
Sure.
In ribs, you know, like you said, I have a local sponsor, but he sells to the public, and he has all his ribs out there, and I'll sneak back into his freezer and go through cases and cases of ribs. Now, he's going to put them on the shelf if I don't pick them. So it's right there for the general public. But
sure.
I'm looking for thick, heavy ribs. I'm looking for straight bone. I'm looking for, you know, no shiners. I don't want to see any bones on the top side. And I'm looking for well-marbled meat.
Yep.
So it's what everybody else is looking for, and it's certainly available to the general public.
Oh, absolutely. Now, where are you going next? What are you doing next? I know you've got an appointment for your catering stuff coming up here in about 10 minutes, but what's on the trail for you coming up as the barbecue guru?
All right, so two shows coming up. I have the Pennsylvania State Championship in New Holland, Pennsylvania. It's about an hour west of me in Amish country. It's a beautiful event that I've been to probably 15 years in a row. I think this is probably its 20th year or 19th year. I did miss it a couple of years because I was traveling in Europe. And then the Thursday after this, I fly out to Germany, to Cologne, Germany, to do the biggest trade show in the world called FOGA. It's a big outdoor trade show.
Oh, yeah.
And I'll be representing Monolith, Barbecue Guru Editions, and I also have my sauces and seasonings being distributed all through Europe out there as well.
Well, excellent. Good for you. Is Mo going with you on any of those trips?
No, I couldn't get him out on this one. He's too busy. But I'll tell you, when I take him, we have a good old time.
I wouldn't doubt that, my friend. I wouldn't doubt that in the least.
he's hard to keep track of over here in Europe. Faster than he looks.
Yeah, well, yeah, I know he's a big guy, but the one thing you could always follow is that trail of smoke from that stogie of his.
That's the truth. If you don't see the smoke, it means he's in a cigar store buying them.
Yep. He was telling me about how he gets these special cigars made for him, or he did at that time when he was on the show, and he was telling me all about it, and I was laughing because I was like, that's a signature scent, Mo. Everybody can tell it's you now because, like that. And I said, even when you're cooking and you got your grill going and your cooker going and there's smoke coming out, you smoking that stogie, man, they'll know it's you. And he was laughing about that. So it's all good.
That is true.
You do a stogie once in a while with him?
Oh, yeah. He's smoking a cigar. I'll have one with him.
There you go.
Probably the only time I do smoke a cigar anymore. I had a humidor and I was into it in my mid-20s, late-20s, but... Now, if I'm with Mo or, someone else who has a cigar, I'll have it once in a while.
Sure. Well, Bob, I'd like to invite you back on the show sometime whenever you've got time. It's been a real pleasure to talk to you. We got to get out of here. I want to thank the barbecue guru, Bob Trudnack. You can go look it up online. Why don't you whip your websites on them real quick?
Yeah, sure. It's bbqguru.com.
Okay.
monolithgrill.com and havingabarbecue.com.
There you go. And we'll put those we'll put out some social media stuff with all that too. So Bob, thanks for being with us. Folks, we got to get out of here. Thanks for listening to Barbecue Nation this week. I'm JT, and we'll be back next week on the Envision Radio Networks. Go cook something, would you? And don't forget, turn it, don't burn it. See you next week.
Barbecue Nation is produced by JTSD LLC Productions in association with Envision Networks and Salem Media Group. All rights reserved. Copyright 2019.